have a Bible this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And then I'd ask you to also turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Ephesians chapter 2, and then the Gospel of John, chapter 14. For you that are visiting with us, we're in a series that we have begun that we're dealing with living beyond our capacity as Christians. And what this series is about is looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives as it unfolds. After salvation, we know that the Holy Spirit moves in, and we are sealed until the day of redemption. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is ours forever. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to guide us, to direct us, to strengthen us, to be an ever-present entity in our lives. He convicts us, and He does give us strength and direction. The Word of God tells us in the portion of Scripture in John chapter 14. Let's start there this morning. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God today, and then we'll get right into this. John chapter 14, look at what it says in verse 16. Jesus is talking about His departure, that He's leaving. And here's what He tells the disciples in verse 16 of John 14. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." Now that is the Paraclete. That is the Holy Spirit. That's one of like kind of Jesus. And He says that He will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's an ever-present entity in our lives. One of His ministries is to help us live the Christian life, to help us, to indwell us, and to give us the capability of good works. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse number 8. Many of you can quote this portion of Scripture. We'll read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We don't work for salvation, but we work because of salvation. And the Holy Spirit will help us do the works we're supposed to do, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. What does that mean? That means that we have a predestined plan, that we as Christians are to grow in the image and stature of Jesus Christ. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to help us with that. None of us can accomplish that on our own. The Holy Spirit's job is to be at work in your life. Two major points we've got to remember. The Holy Spirit will not leave you the way He found you, and He will take you somewhere. Father, bless now as we look at this. use it in our lives. I pray that we would draw closer to you during this effort of preaching this morning. Speak to every heart and every life. Might we be attentive to what you have for us. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I do appreciate the church praying for me this week. It's been a little different in my life. My father, who I never lived with, I barely knew, passed away. He was not a believer. I had witnessed to him a couple of times, and he was a person that did not want to believe those things. He totally rejected Christ. Today, I wished I had the report. I could say my dad was a believer, but he wasn't. And I hope someone was able to get the gospel to him. He told me on one of our last visits that if all I had to do was talk about Jesus Christ, I could leave. And it's a sad note. I wished I could say he was saved, but as of right now, I don't think he was. And you go, well, why would you start your message that way? Well, I want to parallel something that is important in our lives as Christians. There's a cemetery outside of London, just on the north side of London, that is the what they call the nonconformist cemetery. It's in Ben Hill Fields, and again, it's located just on the north side of London. There are many Christians buried there from 1600 to 1800, and they were branded as nonconformists or dissenters. They would not agree with the typical religion that was being passed around during that day. And they would not give in to it. And there are many grave markers there. There's one man's grave marker that is there. And as you walk through those graves, those markers all have sayings about the Christian people that died there. And many laid their lives down. And as you walk through there, I can imagine that each tombstone would holler out to you, I gave my life for Jesus, what have you done? And I've heard stories about preachers that have walked through that cemetery. And there's one particular tomb that they come to, or a tombstone that they come to. His name was John Rippon. John Rippon pastored a church there in London, and he was a young man when he started serving the Lord. He got saved at a young age. He went to Bristol Baptist College, got an education, and at 17 years old, he was called as a pastor. And he started preaching. In fact, he pastored and led the church called the Baptist Meeting House. And this particular church became the Metropolitan Tabernacle, which Charles Haddon Spurgeon pastored. This young man was a man of conviction. He was a man that lived his life trying to serve the Lord. He is most known for hymns that he penned. One of the hymns that he penned was How Firm a Foundation. Many of us have heard that hymn. How many of you have heard that hymn? All right, a number of you. Another hymn that he penned was All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And many of us have heard that hymn. He is buried in an area where, you know, it's a sort of an unknown area in that cemetery. He wasn't buried in Westminster Abbey among the well-known. He's buried in this particular nonconformist cemetery. And it seemed like God compelled him to spend his life serving God. There's a monument right outside his tombstone that reads this. The Reverend John Rippins, D.D., for 63 years pastored the Baptist Church here in Carter Lane, South Rock. As a man and as a minister, he was endeared to all who immediately knew him. His talents were many. He was a qualified preacher. He used his ministry in a useful way. He discharged his duties in public service admirably. He was affable. In other words, he was pleasant. He was sociable. He was a man of affection in his disposition. He was animated in the pulpit. In doctrine, he was uncorrupt, unwavering in principle. His preaching was attractive, and his labors were abundant, and he was successful as a Christian. He's very well known. He was a man at 17 that determined he was going to spend his life serving the Lord. Now, when I look at his life, you know what it challenges me to do? It makes me ask the question, what have I done for Jesus today? When I look at a man that spent his life in serving the Lord, I want my life to be said. I honored Jesus. I was a man that loved Jesus, and people can see it in me. I want that to be said of me. This past week was a sad week for me. The preacher got up and spoke of my dad. He didn't know my dad. And he spoke of things, tried to make it very flowery. But I knew my dad. And the things the preacher said, he didn't have a clue of who my dad was. This is how he started the message, that my dad was born during the time of depression. That my dad was a man that had grown up in a rough time, and that put an edge on people. That my dad was a good mechanic, and that he went away into work program provided by the federal government. That he went away to war and he fought in a war, and that it was appreciated by the government. In fact, he had an honorary military funeral. And that my dad lived his life the way he wanted. He was a man that lived his life in the way that he wanted. That we all knew he was a man that lived his life in the way he wanted. That he lived his life. That was all that was said. And I just sort of hung my head and said, what a sad commentary on a whole life. He was 92 years old. To not have anything in his closet or in his life where somebody could say he loved Jesus. He loved God. He pointed people to God. And I left that cemetery on Thursday, and my boy looked at me, and I looked at my boy, and this is what my boy said. My boy's a preacher. He pastors the Calvary Baptist Church in Chickasha, Oklahoma. My boy looked at me and said, what a sad commentary on a whole life. I said, son, may our lives not be the same. And he says, Dad, you pointed me in the right direction. I'm going to point my family in the right direction. And we're going to honor God with our lives. We've turned our family in a different direction. And folks, might it be said of all of us that are believers that we want to spend our life honoring the Lord? May it not be said of you that you come down to the end of life and all that's remembered of you was that you were a man that was a good mechanic, that you had an edge put onto you because of the roughness of the world, and that you lived the life that you had the way you wanted to. What a sad commentary. I am so glad today that I have the opportunity to make my life count for Jesus Christ, that I can serve Him from the morning to the night, that I can point my family in the direction of serving Jesus. The most important thing you can do in your life is point your loved ones to the Lord. Oh, how important that is. That we, many times we as Christians, get complacent. And we get to the place to where we're sort of silenced about our faith. And we sort of don't really serve Him. I believe that authentic Christianity ought to scream out, "I love the Lord. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want to do right. I want to do good works." Because that's what Christians do. Might we realize that our life is more. The Christian life is designed to be a life not only of input or not only of output, but to be throughput. And you go, what do you mean? Throughput. I mean that the Lord might work through you. And God wants to use you. We ought to be a conduit of the grace of God. People ought to see it in our lives. And here John Rippon was. He was 17 years old when he dedicated his life to the Lord. What a monument to start in a young man's life. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit wants to use each and every one of you as believers? He wants you. He wants to use you in other people's lives. I like what's said of John Rippon, that he was an affable man, a man that was pleasant, a man that was a genuine Christian, and that he did things in a proper way, that he was a man of principle, a man of conviction. Boy, I hope people can say that of me. He was not known as a man of the flesh. He wasn't known as a man who lived life the way he wanted to live his life. He was known as a man that lived for the Lord. Might we be willing to serve the Lord? You realize the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. If you're saved today, you're a laborer. You're a servant. And you ought to be serving the Lord. We're in active duty. Huh? We are. You go, well, I thought active duty meant military. No, you're an active duty Christian. We got too many Christians sitting on the sideline, and they have authentic Christianity. They're saved. They're born again. But they're not honoring the Lord with their lives. Well, we need that. You know what? Our young people need to see that in our lives. Now let me say this about the Holy Spirit. We're going to have two basic points today. The Holy Spirit calls us. And you go, well, man, what is that? It's simply that He will take you somewhere. He will not let you live an aimless life or a life without direction. He wants to help you. He wants to guide your life. You know, what is it that gets you fired up? What is it that compels you to go on? What is it that inspires you? You know, my life was inspired this week by looking at John Rippon's life, but also looking at my father's life. And I was inspired by this man. I wasn't inspired by this man. I'm sad to say that. I'm very sad to say that. You know, and how hard that is. And might we understand that God has called us to service. In Acts chapter 13, in the church of Antioch, there were some men there that were serving the Lord. You might turn there. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. These men were serving the Lord. And you know where they were serving the Lord? In their local church. They were involved in their local church ministry. They were doing what God had called them to do. They were involved in that church. And we see that these men were known as Barnabas and Saul. And the Word of God says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, they were separated to the work. These men became missionaries. We all know that. But you realize before they became missionaries, they were serving. They were called to serve in their local church. And that's what they were doing. Paul writes to young Timothy, and he says this, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And here's the wonderful thing. They had a calling on their life to serve the Lord, and they got involved in it. Later on, God called them as missionaries. And we think the only people that are called to serve are preachers or missionaries. If you're a believer, you're called to serve the Lord. You have a calling on your life. I read a story of a man in New York City. And his name was Timothy Stackpole. And Timothy was a firefighter for New York City. He was severely burned in 1998 and had to go through rehabilitation and go through all that you have to go through when you go through a situation like he went through. He was promoted to be captain. And he would not quit being a firefighter because he had a passion to save people. And they told him that he could have a desk job and that he could spend the rest of his time, you know, just doing paperwork and doing stuff in the offices, that he didn't have to go out and do work in the field. His answer to that is this. You don't understand. I have to rescue people. It's my duty. It's my calling. As he finished his shift on September the 11th, 2001, he was driving home. He'd finished his shift. And as he was driving home, he heard a call on the radio about the Twin Towers. He was just spent, you know, his time at work. He immediately turned his car around and headed towards the Twin Towers. He got there and he saw an horrific scene. Terrible. And as he was there, he got some firemen together and they charged into Tower 2 to go in and save lives. That was their calling. As it came tumbling down, they were charging in. They were all killed. He had a calling in his life, and that was to save lives. And he spent his life. See, understand this. Understand that God doesn't call everybody to die for him. Some will. The people in London, that cemetery, many of them died for their faith. God doesn't call everybody to die for him. But he does call every Christian to serve him. And that ought to be our job. We ought to be continually serving God. Every single day we get up, we're Christian. I'm a Christian from the top of my feet to top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm a Christian. I've heard people say, well, I'm a Baptist from the top of my head to the... Well, that's great, but you ought to be a Christian Baptist. Amen? And we ought to love the Lord, and people ought to see it. And here's the blessed thing. God empowers us to serve. God gives us... He's our resource. He's our strength. Hey, folks, He not only is involved in our saving... He's not only involved in our strengthening, he'll be involved in our serving too. He'll help you serve. He'll give you the resources to serve. All we have to do is be a yielded vessel. Too many of us as Christians are yielding ourselves to what our flesh wants and our fleshly appetites. And we're going to spend our lives like my dad. Sad commentary. My grandpa spent his whole life, not a Christian, non-Christian, spent his whole life serving what he wanted, what his flesh wanted. Spent his whole life doing that. And at the age of 76, I led him to Jesus Christ. My grandpa was not a very educated man. He couldn't hardly read. And he came to me one day and he says, boy, Ron, I'm having a hard time reading my Bible. I said, you trying, Poppy? He says, I'm trying hard. You know what I bought him? I bought him a little storybook. And I went to his house about 6 months later. Grandma said, go in there and look at that storybook you got him. It's about the Bible, about the characters of the Bible. I mean, he had every page dog-eared, all the things circled and underlined, and he had everything in there. And he, when I got there, he had a list of questions. He said, I want to know about this, and I want to know about that. I want to know about this, and I want to know about that. My grandpa was 76 years old, and he came to me, and this is what he said. On his own, he said this to me. He said, I have spent my whole life on myself. I'm 76 years old. My life's coming to an end. He said, what do I do with the rest of my life? And I said, Poppy, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with the rest of your life. And anybody come around, he'd start talking to him about Jesus. Huh? That's the way it ought to end. He didn't start off that way, but he sure got that way. In fact, my grandma said, I don't know what you did to him, but whatever you did to him, I want it done to me. Huh? Well, I didn't do it. God did it. God saved them. Both of them. I'll see him again. I will not see my dad again. It's over. Unless he got saved. And I wasn't aware of it. Folks, if you're going to spend the rest of your life doing something, you ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's sort of like what my grandpa said. This is what he said to my cousin. He said, I don't know what happened to me. All I know is I knelt down and I asked Jesus by faith to come into my heart and save me. And when I asked him to come in my heart and save me, he saved me. Something changed. He said, I don't know if I got religion or not. I just know I got Jesus. Huh? Well, that we all, anybody that's saved can say, hey, I got Jesus in my heart. I know he changed me. Everybody's got a testimony of that. If you're saved, Jesus is, if he's moved into your life, he's changed you. He's done something wonderful in your life. And might we realize the job of the Holy Spirit is to go to work in the lives of people. The Word of God says this, that the disciples were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge of them. You know why? because they had been with Jesus. And the Word of God says they came into those towns and they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. You know why? They got excited about it. They had authentic Christianity. Many of us have trusted the Lord. We've been saved. Most of us in this room can raise our hand and say, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going. Jesus died for me. I know that He shed His blood for me. I've trusted Him by faith. Many of us can raise our hand to that. But can we raise our hand to, I'm spending the rest of my life serving Him. I'm going to spend the rest of my life to honor Him. I'm going to point my loved ones to Him. Everybody I come in contact with, I'm going to be affable. I'm going to be pleasant. I'm going to be a Christian. And I'm going to point them to Jesus. Are we living our lives to honor the Lord? Or are we living our lives for ourselves? What the preacher said about my dad. He lived his life his way. Diane, that's horrible. Paul, that's horrible. It's horrible to come down to the end of your life and say, you did it your way. That saddens my heart. Nobody's been pointed to Calvary. Nobody's been pointed to God. Nobody has been influenced other than for myself. That's what they were influenced for. There was a preacher. His name was Brother Pendergrass. He's a good friend of mine. He pastored a small church in Newcastle, Oklahoma. He was not an affluent preacher, just one that helped a lot of people. Had a little Christian school, had a lot of people. A lot of people went through there. He helped a lot of people. He was a friend. At his funeral, you couldn't find a seat. They had his funeral at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. That auditorium will seat how many, Gerald? Yeah. 1,500, maybe more. Couldn't find a seat. You know why? He'd served the Lord, and he'd served the Lord in other people's lives. He'd been a blessing. I think there was 22 people at my dad's funeral. It's a sad commentary on life. How do you want yours to end? Here's what I know. Jesus wants to use you. Jesus wants to use you. All we have to do is open our lives to the Holy Spirit. Let me close with this. There's a humorous story I read, and I thought it was quite interesting. There was during World War I, there was a communication between Arab tribes and the British government. There was a man who was a British scholar and soldier. Many of us have heard of him, Lawrence of Arabia. Lawrence of Arabia was a man that the Arabs trusted, and they said, we want you in this meeting. So they were having a meeting between several nations, and they met in France. And all the Arabs came, all the different countries came. They asked, they said, we want Lawrence there. So he came. They went into the motel rooms and they went there. And the thing that they were most astounded with was that walking up to the spigot or faucet, turning the handle, all of a sudden you got more water than you could deal with. There was water coming out, and then they said, good night. They went over to the bathroom area. They flushed the toilets. Water just ran everywhere. They got in the shower. Water ran. I mean, the Arabs were, I mean, these tribesmen, they were just astounded. When they left after the meeting, they went into the rooms, and they noticed in every bathroom all the faucets were gone. In the showers, the faucets were gone. The Arabs had taken the faucets. They put them in their luggage and took them back to their countries. And so they got back to their countries and they told Lawrence, they said, we took those faucets. Man, that's cool. Turn that spigot and that water just come flowing out of there. And Lawrence said, well, wait a minute. You got to have it hooked up to something. You don't get water unless it's hooked up to something. Huh? Folks, you got the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He's indwelling you. He's in you. It's what it said in John 14. We just read it. Are you allowing Him to work out of you? It's like the missionary that he was given a car and he had a problem with the car. You know what the problem was? It wouldn't start. And for 3 years, he started this car by pushing it every place he went. I mean, he would push it to start it. He'd get it on a downhill slope, pop the clutch, and it would start. For 3 years, he drove that car around, you know, that way. And a young man was coming to take his place. And he was going to go home and report and that type of thing. And as he pulled up there, he says, now let me tell you, wonderful ministry, the people will love you. He says, but that car out there, it won't start half the time. I mean, it won't start at all. Young man went out, popped the hood. He says, well, it's because the cable's disconnected. He put the cable on the battery, and you know what the car did? It started right up. For 3 years, Paul, he had been pushing that car to start it. I wonder if God could do a greater work in your life if you would let Him. If you would simply get closer to Him, develop a close relationship, you might be surprised what God can do through you. God's wanting to use you. He'll take you. He'll take you to a place. He will use you. He will not leave you the way He found you. If you mean business and you're serious, God can do some wonderful changes in your life. But you've got to sort of get out of the way. May your life not end the way my dad's life ended, to where it said of him, he lived life the way he wanted. May that not be said of you. Father, I pray now you'll bless what has been said today. Lord, thank you for these truths. Thank you for the Word of God and what it means to us today. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that you might touch that one, that you might speak to that heart. that you might let them know that Christ is the Savior of the world. He is God's plan to come.